In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princesses to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Alleluia, how good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to God's wisdom. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp to our God. God provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they cry. But God finds pleasure in those who fear the Lord, in those who await God's steadfast love. Alleluia. A reading from 1 Corinthians. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her. She began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A few years ago, you might recall that Pastor Paul Hoffman from Seattle, Washington came to visit us. And he actually has come here a couple times. And during his visits, he shared insights into the ministry he conducted in Seattle, specifically focused on the adult catechumenate, a process that involves preparing individuals for initiation into the Christian faith through either baptism or confirmation. Now, in his congregation, people typically enter the church during the Easter Vigil. And one of the things that struck me is that those who enter the church during Easter Vigil, either baptized or confirmed, remarkably, the very next day, those individuals would be serving Easter morning breakfast to the congregation. Right? It tells us something about the Christian life. Transformed by Jesus, we serve. It was through this process of prayer and dwelling in the Word with lifelong Christians and others who are new to the faith that they knew the Christian life is devoted to service. The Greek word we have for that is diakonia. But for Christians, this kind of service is selfless. It seeks to imitate Jesus in the world. And last week, I talked about how there are no barriers that separate us from God in Jesus Christ. We saw that when Jesus healed the man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue, the scene we get today in Mark chapter 1, we're still in chapter 1. This is right after this incident that we heard last week in the synagogue. Jesus goes from the synagogue to a house where another healing takes place. The healing power of God is everywhere. The woman is healed, and Jesus lifted her up, or raised her up. Later in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, when the women discover the empty tomb after Jesus' crucifixion, they hear that he has been raised. He's been lifted up. So for this woman, the Sabbath day becomes Easter day. She's been made whole. She's been made new. But also notice here that Jesus doesn't command her to serve. She does this on her own. Healed by Jesus, this woman may be considered the first servant and deacon of the kingdom. For us, the Christian life should not feel like a burden or an obligation. Our hearts should be filled with the desire to love and serve. I believe Lutheran theology frames this correctly. It's not the things that we have to do, it's the things that we get to do. So in our gospel lesson, we also hear in these few verses, many different times and places, from a synagogue to a house, evening at sundown, people from the city gathered around a door for healing. There's mention of a dark morning and then the need to go to neighboring towns. The faith that we bear witness to in the world is not contained to just sacred spaces, but it spills into our daily lives. The message, ministry, and kingdom of God is on the move and is not contained to one place or space. What we also see in our gospel lesson today is as this mission unfolds, we can learn about the need for prayer and rest when we seek to imitate Jesus in the world. Because even Jesus could not just give and give and give without recharging his battery. How easy it is for any of us to burn out when we don't take care of ourselves. And some of us are just wired to want to be helpers and caregivers. We have the right intention. We want to do good. We want to be good. We want to share the love of Jesus. But never take time for the love of Jesus to wash over us, to find rest and rejuvenation in the Word of God and in that mercy that sets us free. This year, our synod, the Northwestern Ohio Synod, invites us to contemplate and participate in a year of rest that would enable us to grow in our faith and discipleship. Resting is countercultural, but allowing for it allows us for the Word of God, Jesus Christ, to lift us up and to raise us up so that we can effectively minister in the world. I know it's countercultural. I know if you have nothing going on, you don't want to tell anybody you have nothing going on because they think you're lazy and you're not doing anything, right? We compare schedules in a competition of who's busiest. But we need time for rest and prayer. I still remember in seminary, one of my professors asked, what is the first duty of a priest or a pastor? And his answer was prayer. We have to start with prayer and find that rest, resting in the Word of God. So we can't afford to be distracted because we know that the kingdom is in fact right in front of us and that there's so many people who keep searching for something else. We don't want to be distracted. We want to be able to point people to the kingdom that is in our midst. We live lives today that bring us to different places and spaces. We can be connected to anyone in the world through our technology, yet so many people in our society still feel alone and isolated. So many people are searching for meaning, for purpose, and belonging. And we can't begin to serve them and point to the presence of God in their lives and in the world if we are not rested and fed with God's word ourselves. Because in our gospel lesson, and I believe in our world today, Jesus finds himself in a town with illness, and perhaps all they knew was death and despair. And I think there's many people in our society that's all they know is death and despair. But with the healing love of Jesus, we have a message and ministry of life and hope. to share with the world. We are lifted up by Christ, and we are never left alone. Certainly, Jesus goes ahead paving the way and shows us a way that leads to the cross, leading to a place of suffering and death where the world looks at that and says, that's game over. Suffering and death, as it always is. But Jesus does a new thing and gives us a new reality. The resurrection tells us that death does not have a hold over us anymore. And we're told in Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He has been raised, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. And Jesus takes Simon's mother-in-law's hand and lifts her up, or raises her up. And this is what Jesus does for each and every one of us. He lifts us up. He raises us up to new life. In a world filled with loneliness and despair, we have a new story to tell and a new way to live. And we're called to live in community. We find strength when we lean on our church family and support from our neighbors in a world that wants us to be isolated from each other and divided, quite frankly. But with the healing, transformative power of the love of Jesus, our lives and witness silence the demons of despair in this dark and broken world, for the new life and reality of Jesus Christ is truly good news. Gerald May is a medical doctor who practices psychotherapy in Washington, D.C., and he writes about the importance of community in the healing process. And they did a study where praying for others made a difference in the quality of life. But it made a difference in someone's quality of life when they knew the person personally and had a relationship with them. He writes, God's grace through community involves something far greater than other people's support and perspective. The power of grace is nowhere as brilliant nor as mystical as in communities of faith. Its power includes not just love that comes from people and through people, but love that pours forth among people, as if the very spaces between one person and the next. Just to be in such an atmosphere is to be bathed in healing power. In Jesus Christ, we have a relational God who took on our flesh, and we see the importance and power in the truth of that incarnation, of taking on our flesh, when he touches this woman in our gospel lesson and lifts her up. Jesus comes to our level to lift us up and to raise us up to new life. And this is the love that we imitate in the world. Another physician, Richard Seltzer, has written about the miracle of touch. He writes this, I stand by the bed where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted, palsy, clownish, a tiny twig of facial nerve, the muscles of her mouth has been severed to remove the tumor in her cheek. I had to cut the little nerve. The young husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private. Will my mouth always be like this? She asks. Yes, I say, it will. It's because of the nerve that was cut. She nods and is silent. But the young man smiles. I like it, he says. It's kind of cute. He bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I'm so close that I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate her, to show her that their kiss still works. I hold my breath and let the wonder in. In Jesus Christ, we hear that God took on our form of a slave. In this maybe glimpse of a kingdom, the husband has to conform and twist his mouth in order for that kiss to still work. And what does he do in that process for his wife? He reminds her of a promise. For better or for worse. He reminds her of a love that will not end. And in that healing power of touch, he lifts her up in a moment of despair. That's the kind of love that we share in the world when we follow the way of Jesus. We might have to twist and contort our bodies and our lives in order to truly touch and heal people and lift them up to know that they are loved and that they belong and that God's love is without end. Lifted and raised up by the love of Jesus, we are made well, and we are made well when we are rested and fed with the Word of God, and then we can see opportunities where we get to serve in our daily lives in this world. Our God is a relational God, and we are called to be relational, equipped with this love of Jesus. And with that love and message that we proclaim, we silence the demons of despair in this world. So, beloved children of God, like Simon's mother-in-law, we are an Easter people with a message of love and hope in a world of death and despair. And lifted up by the healing love and power of Jesus, may we all lift others up and point to the hope that this love and life that we have in Jesus Christ is a love and life that has no end. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all of creation. Everlasting God, you bring your healing power to the church. Give your church a spirit of unity and prayer that we may discern your way for us in the world. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Creator of the ends of the earth, you make the grass grow and send rain for the soil. Bring your creation into harmony and balance. Give animals their food and provide healthy shelter for your people. Inspire us to honor the miraculous beauty of all you have made. God of praise,
receive our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, Adam, our pastor and dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God, God of grace,
receive our prayer.
God, without equal, your steadfast love endures forever. Bring the leaders, elected officials, and peacekeepers of our towns and countries into understanding and unity. Guide them to serve with compassion and understanding. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
God, who strengthens, you lift up your hand to anyone who is suffering. Heal those who are brokenhearted and strengthen the weak in all in need. Charlie, Justin, Susie, Scott and Connie, John, Robert, Joellen, Dan, Pat, Dixon, Brent, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Theodore, and family, Cheryl, Owen, Bill, Jessica and her twins, Wesley and Wyatt, Jen, Caitlin, and the twins, JP and Ellie, and our homebound. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
God, who gives power to the faint, challenge us to share the faith stories of what God has done in our lives. Open us to receive the unique ways God is at work in your people, especially those whose perspectives challenge our own. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
God, who called each star by name, we remember all who have died. Shelter all who mourn with your mercy and care, and give us hope in your promised salvation. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another sign of God's peace.
Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward those who are helping the distribution of the sacrament, those who are participating in children's church. Distribution of the sacrament will be kneeling around the altar. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come to the altar. Cindy, our assisting minister of the chalice of consecrated wine, and usher of the chalice of grape juice, just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Body of Christ given for 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 you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. 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 body of Christ to live for you. The body of Christ to live for you. The body of Christ to live for you. The body of Christ to live for you. Please rise as you're able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. We'll call the choir forward. They'll lead us in the song after communion.
Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Those giving communion in our homebound. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your loving care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive the sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As Christ sends us out into the world, we just recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Pull it down.